You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. That's kind of in the middle of your New Testament, but you can find it on your iPhone real easy. I know you can. I am pumped for today. We are beginning a brand new message series called Who We Are. And listen to me, this series is for you. This message is for you today. How many of you guys have ever been in church and you've had this thought kind of go through your mind at some point? Maybe it's been something like this, like, oh, you know, this message just really isn't resonating with me today. He must be preaching to somebody else. Anybody? I know that's never happened here at The Gathering, ever. Anybody ever had that, though, before? Nobody's willing to confess? One person. Well, this message is for the rest of you today, for sure. I'm joking. Listen, I know that the title of this series is Who We Are, but I don't want you to think for a second that we're going to spend the whole time just talking about who God has called The Gathering to be as a whole, or what he wants us to be like as a whole, or who he's calling us to be and what he's calling us to do all together. Okay, this is a series where we can't hide in the crowd just a little bit. Okay, this is a series for everybody. It's not for everybody just around you. It's for everybody, and it's for you. Amen? This is for us. So we will talk about who God has called The Gathering to be, who he wants us to be like, what he wants us to do. But listen to me. All of that is based on who God is calling you and me to be. All that is based on who God wants us to be like and the things that he's calling us to do together, okay? So this message is for you. And so if we're going to begin to figure out who God is calling us to be, who we're to be like, if we're going to begin to discover those things, let's first talk this way, okay? What is God really like? Let's dive in right there. What is God really like? Do you ever think about that? I mean, what's he really like? Do you ever think about what God really looks like in person? Do you ever think about, like, how big is he really? How does his voice sound in person? What's his body language like? How does he move? How does he walk? How does he think? What motivates him? How does he treat other people? What's he smell like? You never wondered about that one? Listen, do you ever allow yourself to imagine and wonder and dream about what God is really like in person? Man, I do. I do all the time. Church, I know this. Without a doubt, there is a day coming that will be, up until that very moment, it will be the most fulfilling moment in my existence as I finally get to stand in front of God, made fully complete in him. I dream about that day. I wonder about that day. I imagine about it. I dream about what God's really like. Do you ever ponder these things? Do you ever think about these things? Listen to me. If you say you love Jesus, then that is a point in time. That's a day we are all racing toward. You might even say that person that will one day all of us finally and fully become as we stand before God, that's who we are supposed to be turning into right now. Gathering friends and family, who are you becoming right now? Who are you becoming? Who are you today? Who are you right now? And be honest with yourself, are you becoming that person? Is that who you're turning into right now? If so, how are you doing that? How are you doing that, and how do you even know who it is you're supposed to become? How do you know who it is that one day you'll fully become, and how do you start becoming that person right here and right now? So I'm going to give us part of the answer today, okay, and we're going to keep answering this throughout this series, and part of the answer is actually the title of today's message. Here it is: You Have to Be Saved to Know. You have to be saved to know. So listen to me. You can't know who to become. You can't know how to become who you need to become. And you simply won't be able to become the person you need to become unless you are saved. Now, I can tell you who you're supposed to become. I can tell you who you're supposed to be like. I can tell you who the model is that we're supposed to be replicating our lives after and who we'll be made fully like one day when we stand complete before God. I can tell you that. In fact, here's the answer right now. We are to intentionally be modeling our lives after and continuously becoming more and more like Jesus until that day when God completes us fully in Him. Amen? That's who we are to become. That's who God wants every person to become. He wants us to become like Jesus. In fact, let's really just get to the heart of it. God the Father really wants us to become like Himself. Think about it. The Father is Jesus' dad, right? And when we get saved through Jesus, then like Jesus, we become God the Father's sons and daughters. He becomes our dad. And if we're to become like Jesus, then that means we're really supposed to look like and act like and walk like and talk like and smell like the Father, because Jesus was a spitting image of His dad. John 14:9, Jesus says, He says, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. They're that similar. Friends, it was God's intention from day one for us to be His kids and look and act and walk and talk like Him. Watch this. This is Genesis 1:27. I know I didn't tell you to turn there, but it's going to be up here. It says, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Think about it. Parents, don't you just love it when your kids are tiny babies and everybody comes up to you and they're like, oh, they look just like you, right? It's like there's actually this competition between moms and dads where we really just want the kid to look like me, right? Like, forget you, spouse. I want them to look like me. That's kind of what goes on. We get that from God. We get that from God, okay? So God created us to look and to be like Him. But what happened to our looks? What's happened to our looks? So if you play that story forward just a tiny bit, we find out that we, mankind, we sinned. We marred and we tarnished the image He gave us. We became something that God did not want or desire for us to become. We became His enemies. And so God tells us that other than Jesus, every person who's ever been born and every person that ever will be born, everybody sinned. Every person has sinned, and every person, in fact, is now born into this fragmented, sinful form or sinful nature that we all have. And not only are we born into it, we then choose it. We desire it. We willingly and consciously make the choice to sin and rebel against God's pure way of life, against His desires and His rightful reign as the creator of all things. And so, church, while we're pondering things, I just wonder, I don't think we can actually fully comprehend just how far away from God we have actually fallen. I'll say it this way, just how ugly and disgusting our own sinfulness has made us. How unlike God we have actually become. But that hasn't stopped God from loving us. That hasn't stopped God from loving you. That hasn't stopped God from loving you and pursuing you and coming after you even just the tiniest bit. He has never taken His eyes off of you, church. Because listen to me, love wants the highest good. Love wants the highest good, and the result or the consequence of our sin is death. Our sin leads to death. It causes death in us and in others. And because God loves you and me, because He wants the highest good for you and me, He doesn't want us to die. Death is the opposite of the highest good. Amen? Listen, so we will all die physically as a result of our sin, but God also knew that without a rescue plan, without a plan to save us, we would also then run the risk of dying an eternal death where we would be forever separated from His presence and love. God loves us so much, He wants to save us from that. And so now, can we just talk about something for a moment? Okay, again, I'm saying this morning, you have to be saved in order to know who to become. So we use words like saved and salvation all the time in church. Okay, here's why. Because they're good words. They're Bible words. They're actually descriptive words of what Jesus, our Savior, has done for us, what he does for us, and the life that he gives us. But if we're not careful, okay, they can become churchy words. They can become religious words, and we might just start tuning these things out, or we might start misapplying them. Listen to me, don't tune this message out. This is for you, okay? Many of us have lived in, or we've grown up in religion. Yeah, maybe we went to church for some periods of time in our life, but maybe we really never had a genuine relationship with Jesus ourselves, or many of us never had somebody demonstrate a genuine relationship with Jesus for us to see. In fact, so we've probably all heard people throw around this language from time to time. They've talked about being saved, they talked about salvation, but sometimes it turns out that they themselves have no personal connection to or experience with what these words actually mean. In other words, they themselves have not yet been saved. So they don't really understand what it is people get saved from, and they don't truly understand how people begin to live differently as a result of the genuine salvation they've received. Listen, that was me for the first 24 years of my life. I would have told you, up until I was 24, I would have told you my whole life that I was saved, but the truth is I had no personal experience with salvation. I truly did not understand it. I had no personal or genuine or real relationship with Jesus. That didn't start until I was 24 years old. Okay, so those words though, saved and salvation, they are essentially synonymous. They have similar meanings. Jesus is God's rescue plan to save you and me from spiritual death, both spiritual death here and now and eternally. I mean here and now, because how many of you have been saved by Jesus and in the process he saved you out of a lifestyle that was killing you? He saves us here and now, and he saves us from death eternally, the eternal death that we could experience to come. Jesus is God's rescue plan to save us by giving us eternal life here and now, forever through a relationship with him. You get saved when you believe in Jesus, but we go out of our way to define belief around here. People believe, the word believe means a lot of different things. We say this, belief is when you trust in, commit to, and rely upon something. So when we say, Jesus, I believe in you, we're not saying I just have this idea about you in my mind that I keep tucked away and it never impacts my heart or my day-to-day living. No, we say, Jesus, I believe in you, I trust in, commit to, and rely upon you with my life. In other words, daily living. I want to do life with you daily. You actually repent. You say, I don't want to keep living in this sin or this sinful rebellion or this opposition to your ways, God. I don't want this. Here's the truth. I don't want this death anymore. I want life. I want to follow Jesus. So you submit to him and you start doing life with him daily. You start a relationship with him where he gets to lead your life and you follow him. And in the process, he makes you come alive. He gives you life. You actually receive the life of Jesus into your life. You actually receive the Spirit of God. His very nature comes and exists and lives in your life, and Jesus makes you alive. That's how you get saved. And by the way, can I encourage you this morning? Here's something I don't really hear people talk about very often. It's really easy to get saved. Jesus didn't make it that hard. Here's what you really just have to do. You just have to get over yourself. You just got to get over yourself and say, Jesus, I want you more than me. Amen? And so when you get saved, it also means that you received salvation from him. Saved and salvation both mean that we are delivered from something. And so in this case, we are delivered from sin and death. Watch this. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 9, he says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, if you say it out of your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, that you're choosing, that he's the leader of your life, If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're not just believing up here. You're saying, I trust in, commit to, and rely upon you, Jesus, the life that you lived, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the whole thing. I trust in you. And watch this. Paul says, if you do all that, you will be saved. You will be saved. Here's one more. Acts 4:12. Peter is speaking to a group of hostile religious leaders. And watch what he says about Jesus. Here's what he says. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. So let me say it again. Jesus is God's rescue plan. Jesus is God's plan to save you because he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to take the death that you and I deserve. So Jesus left heaven. He came to earth. He took on the form of sinful humanity, yet he never once sinned. Jesus lived the life that you and I actually should have lived but have not. He lived the life that every person that God ever created should have lived but have not. And that, my friends, is what qualified his life to be the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. He never once sinned. In fact, I'm telling you, Jesus looked like, he acted like, he walked like, he talked like, he smelled like the Father. That's just how he lived. Think about it. He's still like that today. He proved he's just like him. Everything he did, everything he said was pure and holy. He only ever spoke truth and life into people. He did miracle after miracle. Even creation obeyed his voice when he spoke to it. Think about this. God the Father created the world. This is how much Jesus is just like him. God the Father created the world. Well, Jesus, through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, he made a way for there to be an opportunity for the entire world to be recreated. And so here's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians. He says that those who have been saved, so if you've been saved, Paul's going to talk about you. He's saying those who have been saved are being transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. He says the glorious image of Jesus. That's who we are to become. That's who we are supposed to be becoming. And that's who we are to become more and more like. Jesus is just like his Father, and the Father wants us to be just like Jesus, so that means the Father really wants us to be just like him. That's the kind of people we are to become. Listen, God intended for us to look and act like him from the very beginning, and now he has made a way through Jesus for us to become the people he always intended us to be. Are you following me today? This is some good preaching right here, everybody. Come on. Now, listen. I can tell you that's who we are to become. And you can even have some knowledge of that in your brain. You can even say that back to me. You could give me some really nice churchy answers. But listen to me. You won't truly be able to comprehend it, and you'll never be able to start becoming like him unless you are saved. Here's why. Because if you're not saved, you haven't received Jesus yet. You haven't received God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, into your life. And without the Spirit of God in your life, here's what the Bible tells us, we remain dead in our sins. Here's what actually happens. You will remain in complete and utter submission to your sinful nature. And we all still have one, by the way. Even if you get saved, that sinful nature, it doesn't fully die until either we die physically or until Jesus is going to return. And we don't like to admit this, and nobody likes to talk about this, but your sinful nature hates the image of God. Your sinful nature wants to get you to oppose the idea of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so without the Spirit of God in your life, you will be ruled by your sinful nature, and it will constantly conspire with you to get you to willingly oppose Jesus. So now that we're all thoroughly bummed out, Let me give you the good news. And here's what's so cool. If I can get this. Okay, here's what's cool. When you get saved, God gives us His Holy Spirit. God gives us His Holy Spirit. God actually gives us a new nature. Jesus Himself then comes and lives inside your life. His very spirit, His very life comes and makes your spirit come alive for the very first time. We're no longer dead in our sins. We come alive in Christ, and that's when and where eternal life truly begins. It can begin here and now, and it gets even cooler than that, my friends. When you get saved, God's Spirit then actually gives you a set of brand new desires that are capable of overriding the desires of the sinful nature. You don't actually have to submit to those things anymore. They don't actually have to rule your life anymore. And when that happens, here's what actually happens. It's not only God that's wanting you to become like Him. You actually want to start becoming like Him too. We got to get pumped up, church. Come on. Here's the picture. How many of you, when you were little kids, wanted to be just like your dad or just like your mom? Come on, if your dad was a farmer, you wanted to be a farmer. If your dad worked for the railroad, you wanted to work for the railroad. If your mom was a nurse, you wanted to be a nurse. You wanted to walk like them. You wanted to talk like them. You wanted to grow up to be just like them. If somebody was picking on you in school, you would not hesitate to let them know that your dad could beat them and their dad up. Your dad was the best, right? He was the coolest. You wanted to be just like him. My kids, thankfully, are still at the age where they think Rachel and I are super cool. And I'm kind of stoked by that. But it does go a little too far sometimes. My youngest son, Denver, he actually says from time to time, "Dad, I can't wait to grow up to be bald just like you." I'm trying to warn him. And sadly, if Jesus or medical science doesn't intervene, it's going to happen. Dude is just like me. He doesn't stand a chance. Okay, listen. When you get saved, like Jesus, you become God's kid. And you get a brand new set of desires that make you want to look and talk and act and walk just like Jesus, just like the Father. Okay, let me show you this to you in God's Word. If you have your Bibles open to Galatians 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. And here's the other thing I want us to notice as we go through these scriptures, okay? We're actually about to see, Paul's going to show us what God really looks like. We're actually going to see it right here, how He looks, how He acts, how He walks, how He talks, what He even smells like. It's going to show up right here, all right? So Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 16, here we go. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." That might be the best place to say amen in this whole sermon today. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. But watch. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. I told you. New desires right there from the Spirit of God. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Don't get too sad, though, because watch this. But when you are directed by the Spirit, now I'll explain what we're about to read, okay, but it's good news. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Okay, we could spend a whole bunch of time breaking that down, but here's essentially what Paul is saying. The law of Moses was intended to be a guide for God's people to show them what God was really like and how they themselves could live like God. However, without the Spirit of God actually living in them at that time, man, they always fell short. You would always fall short, okay? They couldn't override that sinful nature. But here's what Paul is saying. When you get saved, the Spirit of God gives us new desires that can override the sinful nature. We can actually start right now living like and becoming like the people God wants us to become. This is good news. He goes on. Verse 19. And he's about to get tough right here. So he's about to show us what happens when we follow the sinful nature. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and don't miss this, and other sins like these. He's not even given the whole list. Now, this is going to be really strong, this next part that he says, but family, we need to understand that it's true. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not, watch this, inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we'll talk about those things in just a moment, we will. But right now, I want you to get pumped up because we're about to see what God is really like. Okay, he's about to give us a description of who God is. Watch this. Verse 22, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. In other words, this is how the Holy Spirit, this is how God acts. This is how God lives and walks and talks and breathes and smells. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says there are no laws against these things. In other words, we actually become free when we start living God's ways. And listen, that's who our God is, church. That's how he looks. That's how he walks. That's how he talks. That's how he acts. That's how he lives and breathes. And don't miss this. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross, to his cross, and crucified them there. In other words, you have a sinful nature. It won't die fully until the day that you either die physically or the day that Jesus returns. But that doesn't mean that you have to live according to its desires. No, he's saying with Jesus, you get to manhandle that thing. You get to nail its desires and its passions to the cross, and it doesn't have to have any more power over your life. It no longer has to run your life. You don't have to choose to live that way. Paul then says, verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit. He's making an assumption there about us. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Church, that's who we are to be and become. Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening in your life? So be honest with yourself and Jesus this morning, with so much grace, I'm telling you, with so much understanding. Which one of those descriptions that Paul just gave us describes you more right now? Which one of those descriptions, the description of the we'll call it the fruits or the acts of the sinful nature or the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Just be honest, with so much grace, which one of those is popping up in your life more? Which one could you say defines you the most? And please hear me. I'm not saying that if you love Jesus and that if you're saved, that you will never give in to your sinful nature. I'm not saying that, and Paul's not saying that. I'm living proof of that. Okay? But which of these defines your life more right now? This is going to be very strong right now, I know, and I say this with grace. But we should all be very uncomfortable with a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. For example, if there's a lack of self-control, that should cause us concern. These fruits are not optional for God's kids. And look, maybe you're in here and you're brand new in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you just got saved. Is there at least, even if it's a tiny trend, is there at least a tiny trend that's starting to take you into a life where these things, the fruit of the Spirit, is defining your life more and more? Is that happening? And maybe you say, well, some of those sins he described, man, those are big sins that he just described. I mean, idolatry, sorcery, dissension, I'm not into those things. Church, I know we know this, but anything we put in our lives in front of Jesus, it's an idol. kind of goes back to the blessed life too. That whole tithing thing, will we put God first? Anything that we put in front of God in our lives becomes an idol. Did you know that just simply trying to manipulate people to get your own way is the root of sorcery? And dissension is just another word for quarreling or arguing or gossip or being slanderous about somebody. Would your boss or your spouse say you're not into dissension? What about sexual immorality? Even in the form of pornography. Grace, because I know about that struggle. What about outbursts of anger? Again, grace, because I know about that struggle. So church, I've made no secret about the man I have been and the struggles I've had. And again, please hear me. Paul is not saying that there won't be struggles, okay? But here's what he is saying. Do you desire to stop struggling with those sins? Do you desire that? Even if you keep messing up, do you at least desire to want to live like Jesus? Do you want to stop going down that path? Is there a desire like that inside of your life right now? Even if it's buried way deep down and you keep messing up, can you find that desire somewhere? Listen to me, there's grace and more of it all day long for our sins, but if you're saved, there's also an expectation that we desire to put those sins to death and be intentional in trying to feed and live according to these new desires that the Spirit of God gives us. On the other hand, if you can't find that desire anywhere in your life right now, then that should cause you concern. That should cause you concern this morning. My friends, that is when you run the risk of not standing before God one day made fully complete in Him. That, my friends, is when you run the risk of an eternal death, or as Paul says, no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Please hear me. An inheritance is for children. An inheritance is for family members, correct? So I'll say it this way. An inheritance is for God's kids. Is that who you are? Do you have a desire inside of you to live like God's kid? Now listen to me, and I want you to hear this morning, okay? No matter how bad you're struggling right now, I want you to hear me this morning, okay? If you have been saved, you are God's kid no matter what. Do you hear me? If you've been saved, you are God's kid no matter what. That is who you are. Even if that desire is buried way down deep, that desire is only there because God's Spirit put it there. You are God's kid. You are saved by grace. You are set apart. You are redeemed. You are loved unconditionally. You carry Jesus-sized, city-changing, region-impacting, world-reaching potential inside your life right now. God actually considers you a part of His royal priesthood. You belong to God even if you don't feel like it. Come on, even if you don't feel like He loves you right now, He loves you. You belong to Him. Okay, even if you don't see that in your life, even if when you look in the mirror, you don't see that I just can't see that person that looks like God's kids. That doesn't mean that's not who God sees you as. Come on, you are His kid. If you're struggling, here's the good news. Your relationship with God is not based on your feelings. It's based on what God did for you through His Son, Christ Jesus, and how He saved you. And then it's based on that decision you made when you said, God, I want Jesus in my life and I want to follow Him. If that's still the decision you want to live by today, then my friends, lift your head and be encouraged. God loves you. He's not done with you by a long shot. That desire may be buried, but God can work with it. Here's the question for all of us. Will we let Him? Will we let Him bring that thing to the surface? Will we choose to be intentional? Do you want to continue to become the person that He desires for you to become? Or will it be life as usual? So listen, here's where we're heading in this series, okay? For the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about who we are in Jesus and who we get to become in Jesus. We're going to take intentional and very practical steps to continue to become the men and women that He wants us to be. And I don't know if you've seen or realized what's been taking place around here lately, but it's only the beginning of April, and it's been an amazing year so far. Hey, listen, here's what's been happening. I don't know if you paid attention to this. All we're doing is taking very simple, practical steps together. Think about this. The Every Sunday Challenge, here was your step. Just show up. Just show up. That's your step, right? The Blessed Life, here was your step. Let's start tithing. Let's just start tithing. Let's start giving generously. Your future, here was your step. Let's start inviting people to church. Just simple steps, right? Right? Just easy, practical steps. And here's what's happened. So many people have been taking those steps, and so many people around here are growing. Here's my suggestion. Let's kick it into overdrive. Come on, Paul. I'm telling you, Paul said in verse 25, he says, since we are living by the Spirit, is that what we're doing, church? Please, Jesus. Yes. Since we are living by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's our step, okay? That's our step. I'm going to break it down, but if you want to say it another way, our step, your step, is to be intentional to allow God to change your life, okay? Well, very practically, here's what I want all of us to start doing. Number one, I want us to examine. I want you to examine your daily living through the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what I mean by that. I want all of us throughout this series to be intentional to focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Next week, we're going to give you guys some fancy cards. And on those cards, it's going to have that verse that lists the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to have some great questions for daily living. But how many of you know you don't have to wait on a fancy card to start doing that right now? You got a Bible, right? You got a Bible? Man, you got one of those on your phone? I want us to be intentional. Think about this. I want us to be intentional. I mean this. Starting tomorrow, we wake up in the morning, and before we head out the door, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and we decide, and we pray, God, this is how I want to live today. I want my decisions. I want the way I treat people. I want all of it to line up in a manner that's according to your Spirit, to the fruit of the Spirit and the things that you want for my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you to have it memorized by the end of this series. You can just rattle them off. You just know it, okay? And then, because listen, these things, here's why. These things, if we're God's kids, these things should define who we are. That's the idea. And then here, at the end of the day, I want us to examine these things again. I want us to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and then we think about our lives, how we lived just that day before, and then we can see where we messed up, or we can see where we fell short. But here's the good news. Then we know how to pray, don't we? Then we know how to pray. God, change me. God, I need to be more loving. I messed up in that today. God, I need to stop yelling. I need more peace in my life. I need more patience in my life. God, I want to stop looking at that stuff. I need more self-control. Will you change me? Listen, there's grace for it all day long. But come on, we need to grow that desire, amen? We need to grow that desire and be intentional to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And then here's the other thing you might do at the end of the day. You might actually figure out who you need to go apologize to for the way you behaved earlier. This is a good message. Man, come on. Do you realize how much change will take place in our lives if we actually start getting intentional about this? Okay, here's the second one, and it lines up with the first. We have to, church. We have to read God's word daily. And I put the why up there because that's how we see what our dad is really like. That's how we see. Paul says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When you read God's word, it gets God's heart and mind into yours, and it will change you. And so listen, we have to start. Many of us aren't reading our Bibles every day. You have to start, and don't be intimidated. Some people get so intimidated, they think it's such a big deal. It's not. Okay, you have permission to say, it's not a big deal, I'm just going to start. And listen, if you don't know where to start, here's my suggestion. Just start at the beginning of the New Testament. Start in the book of Matthew. Read a chapter a day. Please, read a chapter a day. And then pray Even if it's a short prayer to say, God, how can I know you more through what I just read? How can I change through what I just read? If you will intentionally pray that, even if it's a short prayer, I guarantee if you give God the opportunity, he will begin to answer you. He will begin to change your life. We have to do this. And then just keep reading until you get to the end of the book. Just keep reading a chapter a day until you get to the end of the book. And if that time, if at that time you don't know what else to read, come talk to one of us and we'll point you in the right direction, okay? Man, let's read our New Testaments, church. We got to read God's word. It will change our lives. You won't be able to help yourself from becoming more and more the person God wants you to become. And then together we'll keep becoming the people and the church he wants us to become. We want to see Newton reborn. Amen. It starts with us. And as we continue to take these steps, we will continue to look more and more like Dad. And these fruits will define who we are. The people around us will see, they'll take notice, they'll be attracted to the life of God in us. They'll see that we're God's kids, that we are in love with the people of this city, that we're living on mission to see this whole city come alive right here and now like never before. Because that's who we are. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Come on, let's be intentional together. Would you pray? I'm going to pray in just a second. Would you pray with me and let's be intentional together to commit to take these very practical steps. Bookmark Galatians 5 in your Bible before you leave today. Put that thing on your phone. Set a reminder. Say, I want to read that scripture. Come on, let's examine our lives moving forward through the fruit of the Spirit. Let's live daily by these things. Let's read God's word. Let's allow him to change us. Let's grow that desire that God has placed within us. And with so much grace, if you're here this morning and you can't find that desire, if you're here and you say, man, there's just not a desire to look like Dad. There's just not a desire to look like Jesus. With so much grace, I'm just telling you, that's a point to be concerned. We should be concerned. Here's what needs to happen. I know these are strong words, but you need to cross over from death to life. You need to allow Jesus to save you. What could keep you from making that decision today, from saying, Jesus, I am going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in. I'm going to commit to. I'm going to rely upon you with my life. I want this life of yours inside of me. I want a new set of desires. I don't want to keep living in this death that I've been living in. I want to move forward with you. Listen, if you're here and that's you and you want to make that decision, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out in any way. I just want to lead you in a prayer. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, if you want him to save you, come on, just pray with me this morning. There's a whole bunch of people right now that are praying for you that you would make that decision today. Come on, pray. Jesus, I give my life into your hands. Jesus, I want you to be in charge. I want you to lead my life. I desperately want your life, Jesus, to come and live inside of mine. Make me alive. I choose today to trust in, commit to, and rely upon you. I want to live life with you daily. I want to be in a relationship with you. I believe that you lived the sinless life, that you died, that you were buried in the grave for me, but that you rose from the dead and you can give me new life. I choose to follow you today. I'm telling you, if you are making that decision right now, Jesus is giving you a brand new nature. He will not fail to make you come alive if you mean that. Jesus, I pray, have your way in all of us. We determine, we make the decision. We say, we're going to follow you. Let you lead us in every area of our lives, Holy Spirit. I pray you would remind us, I pray, but we would be intentional as well to examine our lives moving forward by who you are, how you look, how you act, how you walk, how you talk. I pray we begin to look more and more like you. I pray we would read your word daily. We pray grow us and change us. Make us, Lord, into the people you want us to become. Have your way. And through us, God, let this city be reborn. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name. And all my friends said. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.